You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Daniel chapter 6. We left off in the middle of the chapter. We've kind of looked at the chapter under a series of headings: favored, framed, faithful, fed, and freed. Alan Redpath years ago said that Daniel was in the beginning favored, his character, his integrity, and that the government took notice of that. And Darius sought to make him the administrator that would oversee all other administrators in the land. That Daniel, because of his character, and probably because he was not a Babylonian, and as Darius inherited the city of Babylon to run, to have a man who had no loyalty to Babylon per se, but had been of the captivities of Judah and was of the character of Daniel, knowing the ways of Babylon well, but not having that particular loyalty, he was very important to Darius, so he was favored. The other men then framed him. They understood that Daniel wouldn't compromise where they wanted to compromise. Daniel wouldn't put his hand in the till where they wanted to put their hand in the till. It specifically says that Darius was concerned that he would be protected from those who would abuse their power, abuse the kingdom. And Daniel was the kind of guy who wouldn't bend. He wouldn't yield. So those other leaders in Babylon legislated. They took the law of the Medes and the Persians, which is a thing that shouldn't be altered once it's signed, and they twisted, if you can imagine this ever happening anywhere in government, they twisted, the legislators actually twisted the things that the Medo-Persian founding fathers wrote down that would have upheld the character of a man like Daniel and was born out of character of men like Daniel. The legislators begin to take those things and actually twist them against the very freedoms that Daniel enjoyed to pray and to worship the Lord, and to make those who upheld the true and the living God look like the bad guys. We can't, it happened in Babylon. You can never imagine it happened here, but it happened. They actually turned the very thing that should have provided Daniel's freedom to worship God into the very thing against the intentions of those who drew up the papers in the first place. Turned it into the very thing that would restrict him. Imagine living in times like that. But Daniel was faithful. He prayed. He sought the Lord. 90 years old. What was he going to do? There's no turning away then. The threat was, if you prayed to any other god, you'd be thrown in the lion's den. Daniel went and prayed and said, "Lord, throw me in today. I am weary. 90 years, finally a way out of here. The good old lions." I don't think that's what he said. But Darius then realizes that his administrators have duped him. They got him to sign this paper. And he's grieved by it. No doubt he is unhappy with them. Verse 14 says, "The king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself." Notice, he wasn't just displeased with himself. There's a lot of emotion here. He was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him, looking for a loophole, trying to figure out how he could get Daniel off the hook. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and notice, they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God," now this is very telling, "whom thou servest continually." Isn't it interesting that Darius, the new king in Babylon, already knew that about Daniel? No doubt he had known about that from the past when he had dealings of trade and commerce with Babylon. No doubt he had heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. He says, "Your God, I wonder if people would take note about us in regards to this. Whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Daniel probably said, that's easier to say on your side of the lion's den than it is on my side of the lion's den. You love it when people do that to you. Hey, they're only lions. Don't worry. Be happy. You know, he's down there hearing. You know, he's down there in the dark. Spurgeon said they didn't need him because he was all gristle and backbone. Imagine hearing that all night. It's dark. It's smelly. And you've heard those things breathe. If you've gone to the zoo and, you know, just when they were, I mean, it's disturbing. And it'd be very disturbing, you know. And then they cast him down. You figure, here's a guy 90 years old who he's probably saying, Lord, I've served you all. Couldn't they lower me down with a robe? Couldn't they throw, you know, slap on the ground. They throw this guy down into this hole. You know, he's probably thinking, couldn't I have landed on a lion and gotten this over faster? Or, you know. So he's down there. And evidently, he gets a better night's sleep than Darius does. And you could imagine him fluffing up some lion, sleeping down there, you know, just a lion snoring. Stop that, roll over, you're snoring. You know, some of you may go through that. They cast him down into the lion's den. And Darius said, hey, Daniel, your God who you serve continually, he will deliver thee. Now, he's saying that to encourage Daniel, because when he comes to the lion's den in the morning, he's going to say, Daniel, your God who you serve continually, was he able? You know, so it's a faith confession here. Just a joke, okay? Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose, now this is God's purpose, he just doesn't know it, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace. Notice, he passed the night fasting, couldn't eat. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came there, he cried, please notice, with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Notice Darius here. It says that he was sore displeased with himself, that he labored to deliver Daniel. It says that he passed the night fasting, that his sleep went from him. He arose early. He goes with haste. It says he cries with a lamentable voice. There's a lot of emotion here. This guy knows he was deceived. They snookered him into this, and he knows it. And he's not happy with himself. Did you ever get in a situation where somebody kind of, you know, they butter you up, and you say something, you make a commitment, you get in a situation, you realize, I can't believe I fell for that. You know, God's, you know, best men are men at best. And even Darius here, who was of noble character, he gets into this. And the whole time is realizing, I can't believe I did. I can't believe I failed. And he really loves Daniel, so he doesn't sleep. He runs there. And then with a lamentable voice, he's half crying, Daniel, oh, are you down there? Is your God able to deliver you? Verse 21, then said Daniel unto him, O king, live forever. Now he can't see. This is coming out of, because the lid's on it. Daniel didn't go, shh. Wake up the lions, you know. He yells back with protocol. He doesn't say, oh, you're so interested. Huh? You threw me in here yesterday. Now you want to know if I'm... Complete protocol, complete gentleman. O king, live forever. My God. Please look at verse 22. Those first two words are huge when you're in the lion's den. You can't say your God or the God I think I know. When you're in the lion's den, you want to be able to say, my God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Yes, I prayed, that's why I'm here, but I hadn't injured you in any way. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. And imagine Daniel, he's writing this for us, that's why we have it. Imagine Daniel writing verse 23 here. It says, the king was exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him. Daniel, autobiographical statement, because he believed in his God. Imagine Daniel sitting there as an old man writing this chapter and thinking, man, that was some night, someday, God got me up because he believed in his God. He wrote it himself because he trusted his God. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them down into the den of lions, and their children and their wives, and the lions had mastery over them and broke all their bones even before they came to the bottom of the den. And then Darius writes a decree through the whole kingdom about Daniel's God that can't be altered. So, oh, that's cruel. Their wives and their children, I know, it is. But that was the law of the Medes and the Persians. The law that they used against Daniel was the law that came on their heads, because the law of the Medes and the Persians said if you were guilty, that your wife and your kids are punished with you, because the Medes and the Persians didn't want to worry about your sons taking revenge at some point in the future. So if you were guilty of something, particularly that was guilty of the death sentence, your family, your immediate family was put to death with you. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians. And the other thing about the verse that's important is, you know, some people try to say, well, the reason that Daniel survived the night is because the lions weren't hungry. Darius couldn't figure out a way to get him off the hook, so what he did was he stuffed the lions before they threw Daniel down. That's what he was doing all day, and the lions were so full, they looked at Daniel and said, oh, get him out, he's making me sick, I can't look at one more thing, you know, one more, you know, there's one more chicken wing, I can't, oh, no, you know, just. Well, verse 24 gets rid of that whole idea. Because when they throw down these men and their families, it says the lions get them before they even hit the ground and break their bones. These are not kitty cats. These are not friendly lions. These are not fat zoo lions. These are lions that are bred to be vicious. And archaeologists and anthropologists tells us that they were kept half-starved so they'd be mean. They served the purpose of consuming people that were thrown down to them. And they were waiting. So imagine the night before. Imagine the night before when Daniel was down there with him. The trap was set. Daniel is thrown down. And the question is to us, is your God able? Is your God able? Is my God able? That's the question in the center of this. Is your God able to deliver? Know that when you get into these circumstances, hopefully there'll be some people like Darius around you that are trying to figure out a way to help you. But there's going to be Job's counselors. You know, God didn't decide to save Daniel from the lion's den. He decided to save Daniel through the lion's den. And sometimes when we're in those circumstances, and they come lots of different ways. Look, chapter 1, he was 13 or 14 years old, and that's where he decided, I'm not going to drink the wine from the king's table. I'm not going to pollute myself with Babylon. That was a lion's den that so many people in this church are in. It's ridiculous. Should I be drinking? Shouldn't I be drinking? I drink enough just to get a buzz, but I can't drink enough to get drunk. Should I just look? It's a lion's den. It eats up the people that are thrown into it. I can give you the statistics, and I can stand the families that are destroyed in front of you to tell you how much damage that it does. It's a lion's den. And Daniel decided early in that lion's den, I'm not going to give into this. My God is able. I'm going to trust him. In the second chapter, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, his life was threatened. He was intimidated. Daniel said, wait, don't be so hasty, king. My God is able to interpret dreams. You know, give us some time. In the third chapter, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down. The king heats up the furnace seven times and says, you're cooked, man. You guys are going in there. And they said, king, we're not worried about it because our God is able, is your God this morning. Our God is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, we're not going to end up in your hand by the end of the day anyway. In the fourth chapter, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar with the tree and so forth, Daniel, at the stake of his life, interprets the dream and tells Nebuchadnezzar the truth. This is because you were lifted up in pride. And God is now going to humble you till you realize who really rules over the kingdom of men. It isn't you. At the stake of his life. That's a lion's den sometimes, to have to tell somebody the truth without compromise. And you know that God has put you in that position. It may cost you your life. It may get you fired. But you know, hey, Lord, I'm not going to bow before anything else. I'm going to tell the truth in this circumstance. Daniel knew that his God was able. That makes all of the difference in the world. Jesus had a number of blind men come to him, two of them. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this for you?" They said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "As your faith is, so be it." And they were healed. Jesus said, "Do you believe this? Lord, I need to see in this situation. I don't know what direction to go in. I need your leading. I don't know what to do with this. I can't see clearly. Lord, you have to open my eyes so I know what to do here." Listen closely and hear if he says, "Do you believe I'm able?" Listen closely and see if you hear him saying that. I would say be careful judging someone else, because it says, "Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or he falls. Yea, he shall be held up." The Lord will hold him up, for God is able to make him stand. Be very careful when you want to look at someone else and judge somebody else. You see somebody else in the lion's den, it's easy for you to say, like Job's counselors, "Oh, that person must really deserve it." And know this, when you're in the lion's den, there's going to be Job's counselors around you. Don't be so fast to pass judgment, and here's why. You can look at someone going in a particular direction and say to that individual, and not only should, the Bible says we should, with a spirit of meekness, correct someone. We should say it. That responsibility is not just a pastor's responsibility. That is a brother or a sister in Christ's responsibility, a parent's responsibility, a spouse's responsibility. All of you are responsible. If you see a brother or a sister in Christ that had their feet on a destructive path, from the front end, looking at them going into that circumstance, you can say to them, "Look, if you continue, you're going to end up in trouble. God's going to chasten you. If you continue to live in sin and rebellion, it's going to be destructive." You can say that to them on the front end. What you can't do is you can't come upon somebody and see their life in a train wreck and say, "Boy, they must have really done something to deserve this." You can't do that from the back end, because the disciples went into the storm in the sea because they were obedient to the Lord. The Lord said, "Go into the storm." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace because they were obedient to the Lord, refused to compromise. Daniel is in the lion's den because he was obedient to the Lord and refused to compromise. So we can't look at someone already in a difficult situation, not knowing the circumstances, and just deduce, "Oh, they must really have been in sin for God to be doing." No, no. When you get to Hebrews 11, you read about those who were not delivered through faith. Through faith. So be slow to judge someone who's serving the Lord, because he is able, it says, to make that person stand. Paul says this, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Is your God able to do that? Exceeding abundantly above all that you would ask or think. Jude says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy." You know, it's a lot easier when you get into a difficult situation if, like Daniel, someone can say, and you can say, "Well, God is with me, whom I continually serve." It's tough to get into the situation and say, "Oh, Jesus, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, if you'll save me, I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God." It's much easier, I'm just telling you, I'm your pastor. Walk with Jesus every day. He loves you. He's the great shepherd. He'll keep you because this life is going to bring pain and suffering. This is earth. This is not heaven. Please don't be confused. I've taught you all of these years. Is this heaven? Oh, thank you very much. Somebody listen. This is earth. We're on earth. And if we walk with him every day, it's much easier when we come to the lion's den, to the trial, to know him and to know his voice and to know that he's there. You see, the Lord could have just shut the lion's mouth, and he did. But he did more than that. He came into the den with Daniel and shut the lion's mouth and kept him company, too. That was probably consoling. What was it like for those lions? It must have been frustrating. They were hungry lions. Years ago, we had a golden lab, great dog. He was about 90 pounds, 95 pounds trim. His dad was national champ, great dog. Never chewed anything in the house, never ruined anything, but he messed with my garden. And I don't do a garden because we're poor and we can't afford vegetables. It's just therapy. It'd probably be cheaper to buy vegetables than to plant them and do all that. But I hate weeds, and it gives me all of these illustrations for sermons and reminds me of what the Bible says. And so it's just good for me, you know. But he would go into my red bell peppers. I love sweet red bell peppers. I don't grow green peppers. Sweet red bells. And I had broccoli next to them, and I had sweet red bells, and then I had these Hungarian hot peppers. And he would always go. He liked my red bells. And you know, if you have a big dog, when they go to lay down, they kind of walk in a circle. I don't know what they think they're getting themselves. And just lay down. Where you ain't going anywhere, you know. So he would go into my red bells and go round and round and round and finally lay down. And I would come out and my peppers would be crushed all the time. Well, the broccoli had gone to seed. Now, those of you who are fellow farmers, you'll appreciate this. You know, it gets a real long stalk and had gone to seed. So I would catch him in there and I'd grab a piece of broccoli and I'd beat him with the broccoli, you know. But it wasn't working because he kept going back in. So I was out there one day and he was messing with my red bell. So I caught him there and he looked up to me like, please don't hit me with broccoli. Please don't hit me with broccoli. So I didn't. I grabbed one of the Hungarian hot peppers. What? I eat them. That's why I grow them. I grow them to eat them, not to tease dogs. I grow them to eat them. So I broke one in half and opened his mouth and put it in there, and I held his mouth. Stop. And he was looking at me going, woo! And spit was coming out his nose, and I was like, woo, 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 woo. And I finally let him go, and he like ran around the yard 100 miles an hour going, never went in my red bells again. But anyhow, I imagine these lions, you know, they're hungry, and the Lord's down there, and he's got all their mouths held shut. You know, he must be sitting there with Daniel, fellowshipping with Daniel. Daniel said, make sure that one over there is a nice, yeah, he's nice and tight, you know. And all these lions must be very frustrated. I don't think God changed their nature and made them, you know, poodles or something. They were lions all night long, and the Lord, it says his angel, his presence, just like the one who walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was in the midst. And the great thing is, I think our God, if we walk with him and we know his presence, and Jesus is someone who is real to us, when we get into difficult circumstances, we can also sense his presence there. He does not send us alone. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He said he'll be with us always, even until the end of the age. And God puts this record in front of us not to frustrate us. You know, he puts Abraham and Sarah in front of us. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. The longing of their heart was to see God's promise fulfilled in their lives, to have a son. They had waited for decades. And some of us get weary in waiting. We feel that God has promised us something. He's given us a scripture verse. He's given us something, and we've made it our own, and we've held on to it. And sometimes it feels like decades. Is your God able to provide? Or do you have to cross the boundaries, date an unbeliever? Is your God able to provide, or do you have to go into the sexual world and not wait for marriage? Is your God able? My Jesus is able. Is yours? Because worse things than that are going to come. There are those red seas that come. We feel trapped. There's no way out. Is he able? Is he able? There are giants that will come in our lives. David was 17 years old, and he was able to say, God gave me victory over a bear, over a lion. He's able to deal with this giant. These things are not recorded in Scripture to frustrate us or to tease us or to just be an intellectual exercise. God is the one who tells us that a good father does not provoke his children to wrath. He does not frustrate them. And God doesn't put these things in front of us so that we can, oh, well, then why doesn't he ever deliver me? Why doesn't he ever part my Red Sea? Why doesn't he ever give me a spouse? No, no. Is he able is the question. If you know that he is able, you will trust him. Daniel says, I was delivered because I believed in my God. Because I believed in my God. Is he able? All of these things written for us to our encouragement. Hebrews says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives and makes intercession of the saints. He's able to save us to the uttermost who come to him through Christ. Billy Sunday, who was a drunk for years on the streets of Chicago, used to quote this verse and say, God is able from the guttermost. Because that's where they would find him laying in the morning, drunk in the gutter. God is able to save us from the guttermost. C.I. Schofield, who was an alcoholic and a drunk until he gave his life to the Lord, became a Bible scholar, stood a few days after he was saved looking in a window at a painting of Daniel in the lion's den with the lions looking at Daniel and Daniel looking up. Maybe you've seen that painting. And C.I. Schofield said, if God could keep Daniel in the midst of those lions, he will keep me, because he had so many accusers because he had lived as an alcoholic so long. And he became a great Bible scholar that touched our nation. Is God able? Well, Pastor Joe, Daniel's different because Daniel could say, innocency was found in me. That's why God. No, let me tell you something. Innocency is, to a greater degree, is found in you and I because of the blood of Christ. It's great when we have that assurance going in, but I guarantee you, if you're in a mess today and you're in a difficult situation, you feel like you're in the lion's den, and you're saying, oh God, I promise I'll do better. Wait, it's time to settle yourself. Sometimes those circumstances help us to reprioritize things and get back to the center. And sometimes in the most difficult circumstances of life, we remember, Lord, that's right. You're able to save to the uttermost. You're able. The reason I'm going to heaven is because of the blood of Christ. The reason you find innocency in me is solely because of the blood of Jesus. Lord, help me if I ever get out of this lion's den alive to live up to that standard, to walk worthy of the vocation you've called me to. But Lord, your perception of me is blood washed. Help me, Lord. Daniel does not cry for vengeance when he's taken out of this. Please, if you're in a difficult circumstance because of someone else, it is not your responsibility to be God's revenger. They are thrown into the pit and destroyed. Daniel has nothing to do with it. We're told in Proverbs by Solomon that someone who digs a pit for others himself will fall into it. Pharaoh in Egypt gave the order that all the Hebrew children would be drowned in the Nile, destroyed, all the Hebrew babies, and it was all the firstborn of Egypt that were destroyed on the Passover night. It was Haman who built the gallows to destroy the Jews, and it was he who was hung on his own gallows. God will take care of that. That is his business. And I always pray that he is as gracious with others as he has been with me. Take note of these things. First of all, wherever you are today, you serve a God who's been thrown into the lion's den for you. It tells us in Psalm 22, Jesus says when he was on the cross, great bulls of Bashan surrounded him, and there were these creatures with mouths like lions gaping around him when he was on the cross. He was thrown there for us. So wherever you are, he understands. He's been there before you, and he's borne the pressure of that place. Know this also, whatever lion's den you happen to be in, truth be told, they're all kitty cats. There's only one lion. That's the one we serve, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's no lion that compares to him. And his word is the word that altereth not. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one crossing of the T or dotting of the I of God's holy word will ever be changed. And people are devaluating that every day around us today. Paul would say this, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Paul said, I can go through these things because I know that he is able. That was not just empty profession with Paul, because Paul ultimately would be brought before Caesar to be put to death. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me, but I pray that to God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul was not looking for vengeance. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. No doubt he's thinking of Daniel. And the Lord shall deliver me. He's going to be beheaded. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Is this earth or is this heaven? You forgot already. This is earth. It is a joy to make my journey, my pilgrimage through with y'all. Isn't it wonderful that we have the family of God? But there will be fiery furnaces and lion's dens. There will be those things along the way. God does not put these things in front of us for some vain reason, for some empty intellectual exercise. And even when we're in the lion's den, he doesn't do something from a distance. He is in with us, holding the lion's mouth. He's there, personally. The question that we have to answer in our own hearts is my God able? Is he able? Do I take things into my own hands, or is he able? Daniel didn't defend himself one time. There's none of that. Darius labored all day trying to figure out how to get out of it. Daniel, not a word. Is my God able? And look, that will be challenged along the way. Because there will be times for all of us that we end up in a situation that is more difficult than any situation we had been in previously. And we will honestly say to the Lord, Lord, everything I've known of you up to this point has been sufficient, but now you've taken me somewhere where I don't see enough of you to get my way through this unless you reveal more of yourself to me. Lord, this is deeper water than I have ever been in. And now I need more than you, of you than I have ever known. And I know that you're able. I know that you're able. I wait expectantly. Part the sea. Walk with me in the fire. Deliver me in this lion's den. I know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I would ask or think. I know you're able to help me see my way out of this. I know you're able to save to the uttermost. I know you're able, Lord, to hold me up. I've served you. I know you're able to present me faultless before your throne with exceeding joy. I know you're able. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that we can come together and look at these things. Lord, we pray for the person on our right and the person on our left. We don't know, Lord, maybe their circumstance. Lord, no doubt there are many here today that, as it were, are in the lion's den. Maybe even wondering how they'll hold on, how they'll survive. May your word, Lord, be alive to them, to all of us, Lord. May it be preventive medicine, Lord, as we know these things will come. May it be real to us when we're in the midst of the trial. May these things be embraced, Father, in genuine faith. May we be able to say with Daniel, the Lord delivered me because I believed. I believed. Lord, we know that you're able. We commit these things to you, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Joe Foch. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Joe's teaching ministry by visiting ccphilly.org.